Hello and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. It's Wednesday, March 11th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. We air the show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can tune in live or you can listen in whenever it's convenient for you, as all of these shows are archived. For more information on me and the services I offer, please go to my website, which is www.drdiolanier.com, and spelled out, it's www.drdiolanier.com. And actually, before we even get into today's show, I would like to extend a very special congratulations to one of my BFFs, Lady Charmaine Day. She's a pastor and Christian consultant, and she's also the host of Taboo Talk, which is a Christian radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. She held a very successful book signing at Barnes & Noble over the weekend, March 7th, as well as her soul-soothing Saturday event. So I just want to extend a congratulations out to her and to let her know that I'm thinking of her and so happy for all of her successes. Now, we have a great show for you today. We are continuing with health and wellness in the news. And last week, we discussed nutrition in the news and talked specifically about an article called Foods of Mass Destruction, 8 Foods That May Ruin Your Health, an article I found on healthassist.net. Today's news article is Finding Balance, Valuable Tips for the Stressed and Busy, which I think will actually be very important. And when I was going through things to talk about on today's show, I said, oh, let's talk about something with stress. And so I actually found this information helpful to go over, and I'm sure you will as well. Now, the first thing in finding balance and the tips that they give is that finding balance is vital for women and for men. It's very important for everyone in general. And this article, while it is geared more towards women because we tend to juggle more roles, men may also find this article helpful as well. And I found it at about.com in the stress management section, article by Elizabeth Scott. And about.com is actually a very good site for a lot of different information. So that's where the article is coming to you from. So first things first, when we think about finding balance, it really is important for us to remember that just in the same way that we budget how we spend our money, it's also really important to remember that budgeting is also important when it comes to how we spend our time. And so you may think, like, oh, Dr. Lanier, that is obvious, but a lot of us still have trouble when it comes to saying no when someone asks us to commit our time to a worthy cause. We may think, oh, it's a good cause. I really want to help in some way or contribute. But if you have a lot of worthy commitments, it really can wind up adding up to a lack of balance, as well as excessive stress for women specifically, but people in general. So it may be hard to say no to commitments that really offer benefits to other people or that are providing a service, that speak to something that we believe in, or things that can get us ahead in certain areas. And some of these commitments are things that we should say yes to, but having too many of those types of commitments can really be a cause of excess stress. And so the article really intended, went over strategies that women specifically could use to find balance, to pare down their schedules, and to relieve daily stress overall. So one of the tips is decluttering your life. Part of finding balance is really clearing the clutter, and a lot of that can start on the inside of our lives. So talking specifically about shows, the home makeover shows, where they come in and they clear out all of the clutter in a room or in the entire house, and then they reorganize the space, returning only the things that are really important to the homeowner and bring them happiness. And when the homeowners come in, they're just like so relieved, and they're sighing, giving sighs of relief because they can breathe, and it's not too much. It's just what they need, and they can find happiness in that space. Well, in that same way, we can use that same process to reorganize our lives. So in your mind, you can clear the clutter from your schedule, and that's a great place to start. So just imagine your schedule completely empty, and then return only the things that are vital to your survival. So things like your job, you know, we need to earn money, as well as sleep, for example, are vital things. Could also be eating, getting eating in there, as well as caring for certain people that rely on us, and maybe a child or a pet, but just the basics, things that are really necessary. And then bring other things back into your schedule in their order of importance. And I think it's important to specify in the order of importance. We could bring a whole lot of things in, but if you start at what's most important and go down and only allow in your schedule what there's space for, I think that can help us go a long way in terms of finding balance. It may not only be adding things that you already had on your schedule, but adding in new things as well. So, for example, you may have had your schedule filled with lots of things, but exercise may not have been one of them. But you know, that may be something that you, and I encourage you to consider as a priority. And so adding that on may require that you take something else that is not as important off the schedule. Another thing that we could leave out would be things that are draining to us or that stress us out. And those can be obligations that we'd rather not keep, spending time with people that stress us and drain our energy may be things that we want to kind of keep out of our schedule. And and doing an exercise like that can really give you an idea of what types of things in your life feed you and nourish you, and what things really drain you and drain your energy, and those are the things that you may want to eliminate. And examples of things that they consider schedule clutter in this article was watching mediocre television shows. I know everyone may have their must-see TV. If you are one that watches no TV at all, that's wonderful. I'm not quite that evolved. I do like television. And I have certain shows that I really enjoy seeing, but all of us have been in the situation where, you know, we just kind of get caught up watching this show, and you may be watching, why am I watching this? But you sit there for the whole 30 minutes, and hopefully it's not an hour. And you're like, well, okay, you just kind of got drawn into that. Things like that really could be taken out of our schedule, just being mindful about the time that it's taking up, and we can include other things that are more important. Another thing that I mentioned is spending time with people that drain you, or even spending time doing tasks that could be streamlined or is another example of schedule clutter that was included in the article. Another thing that's important, a tip, is to remember the trade-offs. So while you may say no to some things, that can be a yes to something else, like, for example, me time. And so usually when we're presented with requests on our time, we may go through a process where we're thinking about, okay, now how can I fit this new activity into my schedule? It's already jam-packed. Is it worth it to do this? Is it not worth it? And often that can lead to an even more packed schedule. So when you're deciding whether to say yes or no to something, it's really helpful to remember that every time that you say no to one thing, that can be a yes to something else and vice versa. An example that they give is if you say yes to a position in the PTA or Parent-Teacher Association, that may mean less time for exercise, less time for meditation or time with your children, or something else that may be really important to you. And it's up to you to think whether it's worth it. It may be worth it. Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe you rather cut something else out of your schedule and include that. But it's important to look at each new commitment as something that if you take it on, you need to remove something else. You need to give something else up in order to find balance a little bit more easily. Another tip is delegating like a pro. Now, this is, I mean, when I read this, it just jumped out at the page at me because I really do struggle with this, and I understand people that struggle with it. They say here that many hands make finding balance easier, and I wholeheartedly agree. Anyone that knows a good manager or is a good manager knows that there is a value in delegating responsibility. It's great to pair up people with jobs that they can do well. You add a little encouragement to that, and then you let it go. Let go. Let them handle it, and then you just check in frequently, and that's a great way to help you get things done. But many women get caught up in the, if I want it done right, I'll have to do it myself trap. And then before you know it, you look up and you find yourself doing everything. But really, it's important to forget, for example, in the work environment, that there may be other people in your office that may be able to handle or even help with some of the projects that you're doing. And they may want to do that, so it's great to include them in that. Another thing that's also something that's a light bulb for me is that children are far more capable of doing housework than you give them credit for. And so I recently had my mother in for a visit, and I'm so used to just automatically loading the dishwasher. One time she just said, well, Daya, why don't you just let the kids wash out their breakfast dishes? I mean, it's either just a cup, a spoon, and a bowl, or a plate and a fork, and just do that after they eat. And I'm like, oh, wow, Mom, that's a great idea. It didn't even really dawn on me to have them do that, but they love doing it, and they really got a sense of pride from being able to do that job. And I even made a quick little chart for them to put a smiley face by things that they did, you know, vacuuming or whatever, and they really, really enjoyed it. So that's something to keep in mind if you have children, especially if you encourage them properly. Another thing that can be underutilized for us are our husbands. They can often be utilized more efficiently than they are. There was one study that found that the main difference between fathers who were involved with infant care and those who weren't was the attitude of the mother. And so moms who were encouraging found themselves with dads that were more helpful. So that's something to keep in mind. Even hiring help if you're able to, things like housekeepers, gardeners, personal assistants, and things like that really do count as delegation and can be extremely helpful and worth the money that you spend. Sometimes it's a matter of thinking, okay, how much do I earn? How much would it be worth my time to do this? Does it make sense to have someone else do that for me, either in terms of financially or in terms of peace of mind? Another thing, if it's harder for you to do that, would be to barter tasks with your friends. Like maybe you enjoy gardening and mowing the lawn, and your friend doesn't mind doing babysitting, and so you can kind of trade off those things that you enjoy. If you kind of get a zen moment just by mowing the lawn and they don't mind the children, that's a good way to do it as well. So if you feel like you're doing too much, it's a good idea to look around to see if you can get some help with what you're doing. Another tip is do a good enough job that they give. Cutting some of the details may make your things-to-do list less daunting. So sometimes when we're doing things, we need to make sure that they're very precise and perfect. But a lot of times things don't need to be perfect. And so you know, in the article, they discuss the Martha Stewart types that may be quick to point out how special things are when you go that extra mile and you pay special attention to every detail and how that makes all the difference. But a lot of times that type of thinking can lead you to perfectionism and stress and a lack of balance. So if you focus too much on trying to be perfect, I mean, we are not going to be perfect. So if you're trying for that ideal, it can throw you off a course in terms of finding balance in your life. And so if you're already too busy, you may find yourself giving yourself a little bit of a break may be very helpful. And so if you can take a shortcut and the end result is still pretty good, then why not do that? One of the examples, which I think is a good example that they gave in the article, was finding out if your guests really care if you use a traditional mop on your floor versus quickly running over it with a Swiffer. You know, when you look at things like that, you know, okay, I'm just going to buy store-bought cupcakes that still taste great for either an office party or maybe a class party versus, you know, making something extra special from scratch with homemade icing and super special sprinkles. I mean, you know, you could really kind of get into it, but that may be taking time away from other things that you could be doing and when you're trying to do the balance. And in it, they mentioned the live by the 80-20 rule, which is where you identify the 20% of work that yields 80% of the results. And by focusing on what's important, you may need to let some other things slip a little bit. And so as long as you're not too focused on trying to be perfect, I think it can benefit you, especially when you need to do things maybe a little bit more quickly in order to achieve that balance that you're looking for. Another tip is living in the now, but keeping the future in mind. A lot of us, you know, have a plan for the future. Some of us don't. We're just kind of like getting through the day. But I think it's important for all of us to have a plan for the future. A lot of businesses have a 1-year plan, a 5-year plan, and as well as a 10-year plan. And so they plan their daily activities with those goals somewhere in mind. So either they're kind of, you know, the framework is sort of there, or maybe they'd be very specific goal-oriented actions for the tasks that they do. This type of thinking can be very helpful for women as well. So you don't need to have a master plan that you need to adhere to very strictly, but thinking of an overall plan can help you keep things in balance as well as put things in perspective, which the type of things that you'd like to be doing. For example, if you're choosing whether to exercise or watch television, if you think about the long-term benefits that would come from each of those, which is, you know, mainly make it easier to skip a show, kind of like a so-so show that's, you know, you could take it or leave it, versus exercising and getting moving. Now, while both of those activities may relieve stress, so if you're watching TV, that may be the veg-out stress relief, exercising is going to release the endorphins and get you going, as well as improve your overall health, which watching TV does not. So if that can help you in that decision, like, okay, I'm going to shut off this TV and go ahead and get moving because that's, you know, more in line with the priorities that I'm setting for myself, which is being a little bit healthier. Keeping that type of rationalization in mind when you're thinking of ways to find balance in your life is a good thing to do. And in case you're just joining me, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dia Lanier. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are talking about health and wellness in the news. Specifically, we're talking about finding balance and giving valuable tips for the stressed and the busy. Next on the list is staying organized. Having an organized schedule isn't as important as having an organized space. And so being organized really is vital in helping you find balance in your life. If you have a schedule where everything fits, you're going to be more efficient with your time. And so when you're relaxing, you can relax knowing that not only are you going to get things done, but whatever you're doing in that specific moment is what you're supposed to be working on or what you're supposed to be doing. There's also a benefit in using online time management tools or your PDAs or other time management accessories. And it's also important to keep in mind that a good plan and a clear budget for your time is really invaluable in helping you maintain balance. I know if you're anything like me, you may have the super-duper things-to-do list. And sometimes that list in and of itself can be very stressful for us. So I write that list just to get things out of my head. Like if I try to remember I have to do this, I have to do that, that's stressful too. So if I can just write it down and know I have it someplace, that's helpful for me. And then I can pick things off of that things-to-do list to put on the list that I have to do for that day. And usually I try to keep it very small and manageable. So I may take 3, definitely not more than 5, and 5 is actually pushing it a little bit, but 3 to 5 things off of my giant things-to-do list, and I list them in order of importance of things that I need to do that day and things that would be nice if I got done but would be okay if I pushed it over to the next day. And that's a great way to manage your time, and it helps me as long as I stick to that. Last on their list in this article was consulting your inner child. and maintaining balance that way. So when we were children and we imagined what our life would be like when we were grown up, a lot of us may have imagined very exciting things. So you're like, oh, I want to be a firefighter, a doctor, I may want to be a school teacher, a ballerina, you know, whatever. It was probably something really grand, and probably didn't take in mind all of the little things that we get bogged down doing in our daily life. Like you might not have say, oh, I want to walk the dog every day and come with the pooper scooper right behind him. Like, that's not very exciting, but it is something that we have to do, especially if you have a pet that's a dog. So while it's not very realistic to only do things that are fun, sometimes we get caught in doing lots of things that are fun when we should be doing things that we need to get done, like doing some dishes or maybe packing our lunch for the next day are examples that are given. But it is helpful to remember to try to keep things that are fun in your life. And that's also a great form of stress relief, just making sure that we are finding time to have fun in one way or another. Talking a little bit more about women's stress and balance, a lot of times there is stress at work. There is the stress that comes with raising children. There is also the stress that comes with caring for aging parents in one way or another. And so any of those situations could provide a moderately high amount of stress. And so when women are faced with multiple roles, all of which carry heavy demands, maybe you have every one of those things, they can face stress levels that are high enough to contribute to health problems, as well, you know, and health problems that could be significant enough for them to miss work, or just missing work in general due to scheduling problems, as well as a diminished capacity to take on more things. So it's very important to find that balance in all of the roles that we play, as well as inner balance. And so that can be a hard thing to do, but it really is important for our health as well as our well-being. And so it's important to consider the following. There was one study from the University of Arizona that followed 166 married couples for 42 days and found that the women had more stressful days and fewer stress-free days. So when they looked deeper into that, researchers found that rather than holding on to stress from one day to the next, women tended to face more episodes of stress in a day than men did. And this shows that it's especially important for women to find balance in order to minimize their stressors and to find effective stress management techniques in order to combat the stress that they do experience on a day-to-day basis. Researchers from Louisiana State University asked mothers of grade school children, I have two, but they asked them to complete surveys measuring the daily hassles that they experience, as well as assessing the role, their role balance, and examining their health status. And the results found that daily hassles and role balance directly influence the mother's health status. And the researchers also found that role balance had a buffering effect on the relationship between health status and daily hassles. And what they interpreted that to mean is that a more balanced lifestyle can lead to better health overall. There was also another study from Arizona State University that studied women in different age groups and examined how their inner balance, which was a combination of stressors and personality traits, how that affected their health. And they found that while women under 46, and especially those under age 30, tended to face the greatest number of stressors from the demands of spouses, children, aging parents, as well as work, and women ages 18 to 66, so that's a huge age range, but 18 to 66 face significant stressors that could impact their physical and emotional health. Certain healthy personality traits, which became more common with age, offered a buffering effect. So maybe that is becoming a little more patient or just having a different perspective on things and, you know, allowing things to maybe roll off your shoulder where you might have gotten upset about that in the past. They found that that had a buffering effect. How can women cope with stress that they're experiencing? Most important, I think, is to minimize the stress that we encounter, as well as find balance in our lives. And I think that is something that, you know, like I said, the article is geared more towards women, but I think men can have huge benefit from reading that and then following that, allowing that to kind of mirror in their lives as well. Very important. I think that's great information. Now that we're talking about stress, I couldn't leave without telling the importance of exercise and how exercise really can be a great stress management tool for us. So you can significantly reduce the level of stress you feel with exercise, and working out 3 or more times a week is recommended to increase our longevity and our overall health, as well as reduce stress. And working out or exercising 5 or more times a week is even better. Studies show that regular exercise can reduce stress in the short term as well as in the long term, and that more high-energy exercises like boxing, martial arts, and weight training can provide a good physical outlet where you can release pent-up tension. So, you know, punching that boxing bag can be really helpful for you, and it provides an effective release for those negative emotions that if you kept them bottled inside could really be unhealthy for us. And things like walking or yoga can have more of a soothing effect on our frustrations. We can kind of zen out and forget about certain things. As our society becomes more health conscious, there is an increased focus on the importance of exercise. Many of us know that it's important. We may not do as much of it as we need, but we at least know it's important. And so some people may exercise to control their weight, to get in better physical condition, and to become more healthy or physically attractive. But exercise and stress management are really closely linked, and they are important. So I did give it can be the outlet for frustrations. Another thing is that exercise can decrease stress hormones like cortisol and increase endorphins, which are your body's feel-good chemicals, and that can give your mood a natural boost, and that is the chemistry that's behind the runner's high that runners often experience. Exercise can provide a distraction, so physical activity itself can take your mind off your problems and either redirect it on the activity at hand or get you into a zen-like state that I mentioned. Exercise usually involves a change of scenery as well. So whether you're going to a gym, a boxing ring, walking around a park, going to a mountain for a hike or a biking trail, or even your neighborhood sidewalk, all of those can be pleasant, low-stress places. And so that's important to consider. Another thing that they mentioned in the article was looking good, which actually really can seem to be a little bit superficial, but it really is a significant benefit of exercise. If you exercise more and if you're needing to lose weight, that can help you lose weight or help you maintain your weight where it is. Also, your body can become more toned. You can get a healthy glow about you. And so all of those give you a subtle but significant boost. As you may notice that your clothes look a little more flattering on you, and you may get, some increase in your confidence from being a little bit more strong and healthy. So while that may sound a little bit shallow, it really does impact people and especially can relieve stress for those who are concerned about their appearance and worry that they don't look as healthy as they could. Also, exercise provides a great social support. You're able to exercise with your friends and have fun with your friends. So whether you're in a class with other people, working out in the gym with a buddy, playing on a basketball or softball league, or even just taking a walk with your family and friend, all of that can help motivate you. We mentioned increasing your health. Stress can cause illness, but also having an illness is stressful. So exercise can be a benefit for that. And then also stress makes you resilient to stress. So the more that you're physically active, you have a lower physiological reactivity towards stress. So put plainly, the more that you exercise, you're less affected by the stress that comes your way. So very important for us to include exercise in our stress management tip. I hope that that information is helpful to you because it was definitely helpful to me. I want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please be sure to tune in next week when we will continue with our health and wellness in the news. I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless. Take care.